Man, this Hume Lake thing, I'm going to have to start getting out the weak sauce spoon. No more weak sauce spoons. Good morning and welcome to North Lake Community Church. I'm Jesse. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you've been around a little bit, this arrangement is a little different than what we are accustomed to seeing and experiencing, right? That's because this is what I love doing here. I love getting people together in small groups and talking about the stories that are in our lives. And this week, we are finishing the series on why church, right? And so what to expect from today is I'm going to talk about this much this morning, and then you all are going to talk about this much today, all right? So I'm going to talk about this much. There's some questions there that we're going to begin to answer this morning. Choose a facilitator at the table gently. Don't worry, there'll be more of these. But this to me is really special because there's going to be a lot of other folks talking throughout the rest of this year and even throughout next year. And the really neat thing is we bring our own flair, our own expression of what it means to proclaim the gospel congregationally here this morning. And this is just one of my favorite things. So just again, just to give you a heads up, I'm going to talk this much. Y'all are going to talk about this much around your table. And then at the end, given how much time we have, I'm going to have one person from each table kind of give the light bulb, aha, or oh no moment. All right? It could be really small. It could be something that the questions on the table sparked in you to say, and we'll just kind of go from there. And I've already eaten enough time, so let's get going here. So, why church? Last week, I asked the question, why? Why do you go to church? Why is it that we show up on Sundays? Why is it that we find value in this gathering and also gatherings outside of Northgate Community Church? Right? And it's important to ask why. Simon Sinek had that really great quote from last week. I don't remember what it is, but it was great. But it talks about we got to have our why because folks really aren't going to buy our who and what. Right? This is like a who and what here. Like, this is the who and what's. But people aren't going to, like, get fired up. People aren't going to volunteer for a what and how. But that doesn't mean that the what and how isn't important. And one of my favorite things to think about, I do a lot of driving, and as a millennial, I listen to a lot of podcasts. That's my main form of entertainment. And one of my favorite things I like to hear, let's see if I go, is talking about the future church. I love, you remember that, like, again, Jason had that awesome timeline picture, right, of, like, where, how we've gotten to this point. I used that last week as an illustration to see, like, how we even got to this model or mode of church. Well, I love looking at that picture and going, what's the future look like for church? What is church going to look like in the future? What is that? What did I even mean what I say when I mean say that? Because this is actually the scarier question that backs this question. Ready? This is a scary question, all right? How is our next gen contextualizing church in our city? Yeah. For me, I've spent a decade deconstructing everything that I ever thought about church. Tiffany knows, I went on some crazy rabbit trails, and now I'm back to centered. But one of the things that this is something that I've actually had to, like, really realize is, as a part of that journey that I've gone through, I've actually forgotten that there is a next gen. Is that kind of like, yeah, and we have some next geners here, right? They lead with us on the worship team. Well, how is the next generation contextualizing church? Now, Tim Keller has this awesome quote, because sometimes when we talk about contextualizing church, which is a very brethren thing, and we'll get into that in just a second, people start getting a little scratchy around the neck. They're like, well, hold on a second. The Bible is the Bible, which I say, yes. But, like, how we make the Bible alive today is very, very important. How we do church today is very important. How we did church is very important. And how we're going to do church in the future is going to be very, very important. Tim Keller has this quote.
If you don't know him, he's a great guy. Follow him on Instagram. There are some disagreements about contextualization. And he says, I see it as adapting your message to be understandable and compelling to particular hearers without compromising the truth in any way. Right? The Bible is true. That is true. Why contextualize? First, because everyone else does it. As soon as you choose a language to speak in, and vocabulary, and illustrations, and arguments, you are adapting to some human hearers more than others. And this is the crux of this quote. If you don't become conscious of how you are contextualizing, which is inevitable, you won't contextualize well. How we and what the future church looks like. Remember COVID? We're still in the middle of it, right? That accelerated a lot of things in the church. A lot of systems that we thought were really shored up ended up breaking, right? We discovered a lot of things about ourselves contextually that we liked to gather. Zoom happy hours just aren't the same when you're in the backyard of somebody's house, right? Gathering together on any given day, praising God, reading scripture, these things matter. Contextualization matter. And here's the reality, and this is a hard truth for me. We old folks. There's like a 20-year age gap to like some of our young people here. Like I remember back in the day when I was, because I'm big into music. I remember back in the day I was like, there's no way that I'm going to listen to music that has synthesizers in it. There's just absolutely no possible. Tiffany remembers this. She's like, because I was a guitar stringing emo kid, hard rocker, and there's no way that any synthesizer would ever make it in any of my music. I wouldn't even listen to music that had synthesizers in it. But here we are, everything synthesized. And I've learned to appreciate it. Except for Shane and Shane. They will never, no. But the reality is I don't have as much influence over the next generation or what the future church looks like because I'm a 37-year-old dude who like pretends to be emo sometimes and like, you know, has a receding hairline. I mean, that's just not as cool as it used to be. But the Brethren Church has this really cool thing that allows all of us communally to be able to raise up some next generation leaders. They say, each generation of the Brethren must struggle under the Spirit's guidance to discern the meaning of Scripture for its life. Again, we talk about contextualization. That's what we're talking about here. Such a process has several important values. It can give renewed purpose and direction to the church. It can bring the church to greater unity in thought and practice. And it assists the church in declaring its fundamental beliefs to the world. So we talk about why church, we really should be including this idea of next gen. Because we got a lot of really cool leaders here. The Greeby Girls, they're rock stars. I don't know if you know that, right? These are our next gen, right? This is what the church looks like, is the Greeby kids and the Machado kids, and then William and Olivia and Philip and Emily and Rebecca, right? That's our why church. One of the big things for me, this is a big ministry philosophy that T and I have adopted, is we lead open-handedly. We get this idea that our time of being the main influencers in the church are dwindling, which is perfect. That's exactly how the church should be. We should be able to pass things off, and then we become what? Elders. We become wise. We become the people with knowledge because our next gen people will still struggle with the same exact things that we struggle with today, which is relational things, spiritual things, mental health things. And we could be those folks that say, hey, I've dealt with that. But the way that it is contextualized, the way that church looks like, could be, I don't even know. I'm going to need some insight here, folks. I have no clue. So how are we letting our next gen contextualize the church? Now, one of the things I love thinking about, like I said, is just this idea of future church. And one of the two main things that always come up, which is should be some green flags for us when we see that, is churches are getting smaller, right? Smaller churches, smaller clusters of people, also less programmatic, right? Less just like we do this thing and this is what considers church. So those are the two sides of what a lot of futurist folks who ever see, who kind of do a lot of these studies, this is becoming smaller and less programmatic. Which again, I go, that sounds good. That sounds great. We see a lot of that in Acts chapter 2. Last week we had those passages of scripture where it talked about the community. After Peter had spoken, they'd gotten together and they shared all things in mind, one mind, one body, one spirit. Right? We talk about what the church looks like, the how. Now I have some ideas of what the church looks like. We have a thing called Brewpub. You're getting Brewpub light here. This is the way that I love to contextualize church. This is something that wakes me up in the morning. I just can't wait. And so today, we're going to continue that expression by reading some questions and having you guys talk about it at your table. We'll give ourselves about 25-ish minutes. If you get stuck on question one, great. If you blast all through all three questions, even better. There's a bonus question there. All right? And then I'll facilitate the open mic time, and then we'll just kind of see where the Spirit leads, and we'll have somebody close the service in prayer. So these are the three questions. Tell us about your church upbringing, the who, the what, the where, or the how. How do you feel about the generational mandate? I'm going to leave this slide up. How do you feel about that? And how do you think our next gen will contextualize the church in the future? Again, we should probably listen to some of our next gen people. They probably have the answer. Bonus question, what city did you grow up in and what made that place special? So at this time, we're going to go ahead and start that, find a facilitator, just start the discussion, and then I'll rally us back up in about 25 minutes. And go.